Hi, I'm Paul Anderson, and I'll be your moderator for a panel discussion on health IT's ability to help us close the loop on diagnostic testing and medication changes. Closing the loop has long been a challenge, and like many other areas, healthcare is looking to advances in technology to address these concerns. The Partnership for Health IT Patient Safety, operated by ECRI Institute, is a multi-stakeholder collaborative made up of providers, health IT technology developers, academic researchers, patient safety organizations, patient advocates, malpractice insurers, professional societies, and others. As part of its investigation into health IT safety and using health IT to promote safety, the partnership convened a multi-stakeholder workgroup in 2017, chaired by Dr. Christoph Lehmann. The focus of this group was to address the topic of closing the loop on open diagnostic tests and changes in medications that impact the safety of patients. Delayed reporting can lead to delayed diagnoses or even misdiagnoses. Incorrect dispensing of medications can result in inappropriate therapies or other untoward consequences. It's therefore important to close the loop, and the group looked to technology to address this issue. In this first part of our discussion, we're joined by Dr. Christoph Lehmann, who is professor for pediatrics and biomedical informatics at Vanderbilt University. Dr. Lehmann serves on the partnership's expert advisory panel and served as the chair of the partnership's Closing the Loop workgroup. We're joined today by Patty Jafrida, a patient safety analyst and health IT liaison for the Partnership for Health IT Patient Safety at ECRI Institute. Patty facilitated the Closing the Loop workgroup. We'll also hear from Dr. Hardeep Singh, who is a general internist and chief of health policy, quality, and informatics program at the Center for Innovations in Quality, Effectiveness, and Safety, based at the Michael E. DeBakey Veterans Affairs Medical Center and Baylor College of Medicine. Dr. Singh serves on the partnership's expert advisory panel and has studied and reported on closing the loop issues. Finally, we're joined by Mark Siegel, PhD, a health IT regulatory expert and principal at Digital Health Policy Advisors, LLC. Dr. Lehmann, can you tell us what was the impetus for convening a workgroup to address the topic of closing the loop? And maybe in doing that, you could tell us why is it important to close the loop?
Thank you. So the problem of not closing the loop has a significant impact on patients and their caregivers and can lead to devastating effects for the outcome of patients. Let me give you an example. You go to a dermatologist and are seen there for a skin lesion. The dermatologist takes a biopsy. The biopsy is sent to the lab and has found that you have a malignancy that needs to be addressed as soon as possible. The report is sent on paper to the dermatologist's office and is misfiled, and it's not until 2 years later that somebody discovers this report. And by that time, the malignancy has spread and the patient is far worse off than if he or she would have been treated right away. So from this little example, you can see that the issue of closing the loop, the issue of addressing new information that we receive in regards to diagnostic intervention or in regards to treatment change like a medication change, is critical for us to identify the actions that we have to take in order to keep the patient safe and treat them to the best of our ability. So this problem is widespread. It exists predominantly in the diagnostic field, biopsies, radiology tests, laboratory tests, but it also exists in regards to changes in treatment where that information factors into subsequent decisions by healthcare providers. And because of the enormous safety impact of this particular problem, it was considered by many in the advisory group as something that we needed to address as soon as possible to come up with some solutions and recommendations.
So, Dr. Singh, you were a co-author on the report, Closing the Loop, A Guide to Safer Ambulatory Referrals in the EHR Era. How do failures to close the loop result in or lead to diagnostic error?
Sure. Thanks for having me. Diagnostic error is fairly frequent in the outpatient setting in our work. Actually, we've shown about 5% of U.S. adults are going to have a misdiagnosis every year. And the process of diagnosis really starts from doing a thorough history and a physical and ordering some basic lab tests. And oftentimes, we have to send patients to a consultant who can help us formulate the diagnosis accurately and in a timely fashion. which means we have to then send the report of whatever we found to the consultant so that they can help us make the right decision. And whenever there's a communication and coordination involved in sending all that diagnostic information and then getting it back with some kind of a recommendation with a patient at the center of this communication and coordination, oftentimes we find there are sort of failures to follow up that information in some way or the other. And that can lead to a communication breakdown and therefore a diagnostic error because we don't get the diagnosis in a timely fashion. So in our work, for instance, we have seen whenever there's information going from the generalist to the specialist, there's lack of timely follow-up in almost 6-7% of referrals, and almost the same number coming back from the specialist to the generalist, about 6-7% of information also gets lost. And so it becomes a prominent factor that we have to sort of help solve, because all of this information is useful in terms of either not just the opinion of the specialist, but also perhaps results from the procedure that it could be something like a colonoscopy or some kind of a cardiology procedure. And we need to know the report of that procedure. And if you don't get that back, you could have a misdiagnosis.
So where does the ultimate responsibility for closing the loop fall? Is that just something that the providers are responsible for?
Ultimately, there is responsibility for all of us, and that includes the patient, right? If I am a smart patient and I get seen at a physician, I bear some responsibility to make sure that the test results are returned to me. However, medicine is a team sport. The fact that results need to be delivered, that results need to be acknowledged, and that actions have to be taken and documented is something that is responsibility that's shared across the healthcare team, including patients and providers.
So how did the work group go about tackling this issue? Can you maybe tell us a little bit about the process?
So the process of tackling this issue and coming up with recommendations had multiple steps. One, the first step that we included was a review of the literature. What do we know already about this topic? We had experts in the group that have been researching this topic and have been addressing it. So finding out what is known about the problem, what suggestions have been made in the past, what solutions might be technically possible or not. So doing adequate research is something that ACRI started to do right from the get-go. And that information became available to the task force. And then through a series of discussions and presentations from people who have understandings of this issue that, members of the task force might not have, for example, malpractice insurers, what is their take on that problem? What data do they have? What information do they have that might actually help us identify where is, from a liability point of view, where is the biggest part of the problem? How is it distributed across all these different areas that could benefit from closing the loop would help us then to identify the low-hanging fruit, but also the aspects of the problem that required the most immediate work. And then in a series of discussions, we reached consensus on the recommendations and finalized them.
So what role can technology play in helping to close the loop?
So information technology can really help us get information from point A to point B very reliably. Now that we're all very well connected, it's easier to access information much more than ever before when we were on paper-based systems. Technology makes things more measurable, more trackable. It makes the whole diagnostic process more transparent. It can enable better communication and coordination as well as better tracking of that information. So I should be able to know the referral that I sent electronically to my consultant, for instance, 30 days ago has not been acted upon yet, for instance. And we were never able to do that with paper-based systems. So it really helps us track things better and makes them more measurable. The other thing I would like to add is, it should make our job simpler. If we have good decision support and good templates, we can actually get information from the electronic health record directly into the information that we're sending to the specialist, for instance. So if I'm sending a note to the urologist, it should enable, pulling out a PSA as well as some other recent relevant labs from other parts of the electronic medical record directly into the template that can go to the specialist without having me to enter all that information. So it not only helps with safety, but it also helps with making things more efficient if you do it right.
I could envision a scenario where we have a very complicated communication process, as you said, between the generalist and the specialist. Is there a risk that we could, either with or without technology, overcomplicate this process? And if so, what do we do to guard against that?
Yeah, so, you know, it unfortunately is a complicated process. And I get the sort of the sense that people sort of want some straightforward, simpler solutions that they can handle. A couple of the things that have been really useful in our work is, I think, mapping of the process of both for referrals as well as closing the loop on test results is really important because it helps you break down where the problems are arising. So, for instance, for the IHI, you know, closing the loop on referrals report, we actually gave a very visual representation of the referral process just to sort of show people where each breakdown, you know, could be. And there were sort of 9 of these processes where we could highlight, you know, here are the things that can happen in each of these 9 processes.
In a similar way, Dr. Singh, the Closing the Loop work group developed a graphic to visualize the possible breaks in the testing and medication change process. We used a road to illustrate the many potentials for failure. On one side of the graphic are the obstacles to closing the loop depicted as breaks in the road, and on the other is a continuous road with interventions for implementation to improve outcomes. The obstacles to close the loop are multifactorial, including such things as the testing not performed, the test not tracked, or the physician did not review the results. Early on in our investigation, we identified that the same holes exist in the process for medication changes, specifically the electronic discontinuation of medication. The Closing the Loop toolkit provides recommendations and strategies to close the loop on both testing results and medication changes.
So I think overall, I would say taking a more process-based approach to see where the risk of breakdowns are helps somewhat make this closing the loop a little more manageable. But the other thing we've got to remember is, you know, this is a shared responsibility. So it's not like that everything has to be done by one particular person or the provider or the organization. So all of us have to sort of realize we're working towards a common goal of improving safety of either the referral process or the testing process. But then each of us has a shared responsibility because there are parts of the referral of the testing process that we are most responsible for making sure you have the right policies and procedures and workflows to support the work that is happening. So I think if we can take the shared responsibility approach in addition to breaking down the process into components that are more vulnerable, it can really help us move forward without making it so complicated that we're not able to even move.
So once you reach that consensus, what were some of those recommendations that came out of the work group?
What came out of this work group were a set of recommendations that are focused on a number of major topics. They include communication, tracking, and linking information. And these recommendations suggest things that providers and institutions and vendors of electronic healthcare records or laboratory information systems or radiology information systems can do to improve outcomes. For example, we learned about a radiology group that had a tracking tool within their software that allowed them to see that an information that the report was received by a physician and acknowledged by a physician. This technology resulted in a lot less missed reports that could have had a negative impact on patients. So a series of recommendations came out of this group, and as I said, they focus on communication, tracking of tests, as well as linking of information and linking on actions that have been done. And those recommendations have been put on paper, and we are very interested in sharing the results of what we have learned from this work.
So today, issues are often prioritized by regulatory requirements, and we see this as a carrot-and-stick approach, where providers were encouraged to adopt technology and the government provided financial incentives, and then developers were directed to incorporate functionalities into their products. And Mark Siegel, how will the recommendations here be used within that context?
Well, first of all, as Dr. Lehman said, dealing with this problem, like so many that are at the intersection of technology and clinical care, it's a team sport. There are multiple parties involved. In some ways, first and foremost, and again, this is very relevant from a regulatory standpoint, I think this report and the engagement of so many people in it will raise the visibility and priority of this issue. Specifically, I think it will raise it for EHR and health IT developers, for hospitals, physicians, and other providers, and even, as was mentioned, for patients. More specifically for developers, the specific recommendations in the report will help guide and prioritize development approaches, what to work on and when to work on it. And I think that's going to be true for EHRs, for lab information systems, and for more specialized IT in areas like imaging or cardiology. It's also going to help guide provider implementation, both in their own organizations, but also as they communicate with their vendors about the priority of particular features. It's also going to help policymakers prioritize specific approaches to the public policies that they're engaged with. Now, it's important to recognize that the recommendations in the report make clear that existing EHR functionality can, in fact, be used to automate the result notification process, especially for critical results. The key is refined design and evolution of these features, good guidance on their implementation to provider customers, and then appropriate implementation and training approaches by providers. Finally, I'd really highlight points that were made in the report and the recommendations that usability of these features is really critical, especially to avoid alert fatigue so that critical result alerts are in fact followed. And dealing with these usability issues relies very much on developers and providers collaborating, agreeing on, and then following up on needed actions.
Errors in failing to close the loop are caused by a variety of factors. The workgroup identified strategies to leverage health IT to empower developers, providers, provider organizations, IT professionals, professional organizations, regulators, policymakers, and patients to ensure that novel information is delivered to the right person in order to initiate action based on the new information for timely and effective therapies. To view and download the Safe Practice Recommendations Toolkit, please go to www.ecri.org/safepractices or visit hitsafety.org. Thank you to our panel members and everyone who participated in today's podcast. For more information about the Partnership for Health IT Patient Safety, you can email us at hit@ecri.org. Please tune in for part two of the Closing the Loop and for additional podcasts from the Partnership for Health IT Patient Safety and ECRI Institute.